Welcome to the Lightly Salted Podcast. These are the readings and sermons of St. John's Lutheran Church of Park Rapids, Minnesota. They are offered so that the Word of God would shape and strengthen you to be what He calls you to be, salt and light. You can find us at stjohnspr.org. Now, on to the Word.
The Old Testament reading for this Sunday is from Genesis chapter 18. Then the Lord said, "Because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and their sin is very grave, I will go down to see whether what they have done to all together, according to the outcry that has come to me. And if not, I will know." So the men turned from there and went toward Sodom. But Abraham still stood before the Lord. But Abraham drew near and said, "Will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there are 50 righteous within the city. Will you then sweep away the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous who are in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to put the righteous to death with the wicked, so that the righteous fare as the wicked. Far be that from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do what is just?" And the Lord said, "If I find at Sodom 50 righteous in the city, I will spare the whole place for their sake." Abraham answered and said, "Behold, I have undertaken to speak to the Lord, I who am but dust and ashes. Suppose 5 of the 50 righteous are lacking. Will you destroy the whole city for lack of 5? And he said, "I will not destroy it if I find 45 there." Again, he spoke to him and said, "Suppose 40 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 40, I will not do it." Then he said, "Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Suppose 30 are found there." He answered, "I will not do it if I find 30 there." He said, "Behold, I have undertaken to speak to the Lord. Suppose 20 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 20, I will not destroy it." Then he said, "Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak again but this once. Suppose 10 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 10, I will not destroy it." And the Lord went his way, but when he had finished speaking to Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle this morning is from Colossians chapter 2, beginning at the sixth verse. "Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him, who is the head of all rule and authority. In him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you, who are dead in your trespasses, and the circumcision, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made all alive together with him, having forgiven all our trespasses, by concealing the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in question of food and drink, or with regard to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. These are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Let no one disqualify you. insisting on asceticism and the worship of angels, going on in detail about visions, puffed up without reason by his sinuous mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with a growth that is from God. This is the word of the Lord. I invite the congregation, please rise for the Alleluia and verse. The Holy Gospel, according to St. Luke, the 11th chapter. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." And he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we ourselves forgive everyone who's indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation.'" And he said to them, "Which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he will answer from within, 'Do not bother me. The door is now shut, and the children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything, because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. And the one who seeks, finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish, give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" This is the gospel of our Lord.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm going to be totally honest with you this morning. Now, as I typed that out, I thought, that's sort of a ridiculous statement. As if I'm not honest with you all the time, especially from the pulpit. However, the totally honest part, this sermon's a rerun. It's happened before. I'm quite certain it'll happen again. But I bring this particular one up because, well, to me, the introduction was very memorable. And we're going to go through this little test again to see if you can give me some correct answers on some common phrases. I want to warn you, it is a trick. But I do want some answers, so I would like you to fill in the blank. We'll blank that bridge when we come to it. Nah, we'll burn that bridge when we get to it. Don't blank with your mouth full. Yeah, okay. Talk is reasonable, right? Don't chew with your mouth full. Right? Told you it was tricky. Not the sharpest blank in the drawer. Yeah, Knife, yeah, it's supposed to be. How about not the sharpest bulb in the drawer? Hitting the nail, blank the blank. On the head is what you'd expect, but how about between the eyes? We could argue until the cows blank blank. Sure, or until they turn blue. Now, if you're recognizing what's going on here, it's called mixed metaphors, where you take two metaphors that sound a lot alike, but you mix them up. It happens a lot. Sometimes we're aware of it by being embarrassed, and other times we're not. But it's interesting because we have this set of images that we use to convey information, and sometimes the images get mixed up. The reason I want to bring this up is because of our epistle reading, especially the first two verses that are up on the screen. We see that there are sort of mixed metaphors going on in here, mixed images. The first two verses say, therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. So walking, well, that implies movement, right? Being rooted is nearly the polar opposite. Then if we're going to go with the image of trees with being rooted, we should be talking about our fruits. But instead, Paul goes on to talk about being built, which is an architectural reference. And then in addition, we are being established, again, another non-moving word, while at the same time abounding, which is a hyperactive word. And on top of all of this, the whole section starts out with yet another image that I didn't highlight, and that is, we have received. That's passive gift language. You see, in these short sentences, we get this extremely dynamic picture of what Christian discipleship and faith is all about. While we might point out that the mixing of images, the Holy Spirit knows that one image alone does not capture the fullness of what it means to walk in Christ Jesus our Lord. So this morning, I want to spend a little time unpacking these pictures and seeing how they flow wonderfully together, even if the images themselves are rather mixed up. So we start with this encouragement to walk in him. That word itself is a continuous action word. It's not to walk once in a while, but all the time. It conjures up the images of a man who's walking steadily toward his goal, never slowing, never stopping, never quitting, never really even taking a break or resting or even getting tired. This admonishment to walk in Christ Jesus our Lord is language that would most oftentimes be followed by some sort of moral or ethical advice. Or as in our day we would call it, how-to advice or hacks. And Paul does write about those things a little later in his letter. Next year we'll hear, with our eyes focused on Jesus, that we should put away things like wrath and anger and malice and slander and obscene talk and lies. Paul will write about how we're supposed to put on things the way you dress, things like kindness and humility, meekness and patience, a forgiving attitude, and most of all, we're to cover everything with the sacrificial love that Jesus demonstrated for us. This all is about walking in Christ. But much more importantly than the things that we do in our walk in Christ our Lord is what we believe. Because if what we believe is wrong, we're going to be on a wrong path. And all the walking in the world isn't going to lead us anywhere except to damnation. See, this is actually one of the problems the Colossians were facing And the same type of problem we are facing in our day as well. There are so many paths that we could walk. Some of them flat out pagan, some of them flat out worldly, but some of those paths even sound really Christian. And that's what Paul was writing about with aestheticism and visions of angels and things like that. People who convince us we should follow them because of special revelations. There are so many philosophies to live by, so many promises for what makes a good life and brings us prosperity. If only we take this action. And of course, there is the grand delusion that all paths lead to God, so just choose one and follow it. You see, so it's important for us that our walk in our Lord Jesus Christ begins not with the movement of walking, but by being rooted. Being rooted brings to mind plants and trees that put down deep roots in order to draw up water and nutrients and provide growth and stability. Rather than being rooted in the ground, however, we are to be rooted in Christ. And the good news is that takes place in a very specific time and a very specific way that we can say with certainty, I have been rooted in Christ. Because it takes place in the waters of holy baptism. Paul describes that just a little bit later in our reading today. That we, having been buried with Christ in baptism, in which you are also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. And you, who were dead in your trespasses and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. In baptism is where we are rooted in Christ Jesus our Lord. All that Jesus had done and accomplished is applied to each of us individually in those waters. There, we were put to death with Jesus and we were made alive with Jesus. In baptism, we have the privilege of proclaiming that God has forgiven all our sin because, in fact, Christ has taken them away and nailed them to the cross, never to be brought back again. We are constantly to rejoice that God has planted us in the work of Jesus in holy baptism. Now, is being rooted in baptism the only time we're to hear of Jesus? Of course not. Being rooted in baptism doesn't stand alone. But rather, the language moves on. We need to be built up in Christ as well. The image switches from agriculture to architecture. And just as the roots provide nutrition and strength and stability for plants, a foundation is so very important for a building. Now, Paul uses this metaphor elsewhere as he shares the good news with us and the Ephesians. So then, you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. And Peter also exalts in his first letter, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house. Our walk with Christ, in Christ, is not solitary and is not a lonely one. Our walk in Christ is not the rugged individualism that's a prevalent philosophy in our country. Our walk in Christ is about being together with other Christians, united in the Word of God, built together on the foundation of the apostles and prophets and Christ Jesus himself. It is about hearing the Word of God together. It is about receiving the body and blood of Christ together. It is about walking together. As we do this, God is at work among us, continuing to root us and build us into his people, the body of Christ. Sending roots of faith downward into Christ's death and resurrection, being built upwards in Christ, it results in believers being established in our faith. This word impresses on us the stability of the faith. Not our personal faith, in which we hold God's promises in our hearts, but the stability of the faith. Those things that make up the content of what we believe according to God's words. The things that we have been taught out of Scripture. The teachings that are summed up in things like the Ten Commandments, the creeds, and the Lord's Prayer. Instead of always looking to the newest and the hottest ideas, we continue in the simple truths of God's Word. Instead of being taken captive by the philosophies of this world, we continue in the simple teachings of the faith summed up in the Apostles' Creed. Instead of being swept up into super spirituality, we're happy to continue to confess our sins and receive forgiveness. That same forgiveness that was poured over us in our baptism, and we are happy to continue to realize the incredible riches that are ours in Christ Jesus, our Lord. That brings us to the last of these picture words in these two verses. Abounding in thanksgiving. With this word, we're sent back to sort of an action word like walking. But it's actually not related to like bounding over a fence, but rather it implies having a surplus of something. In fact, a superabundance of something. And this is what's so important for us to always realize. This is exactly what we have in Christ. In him, we have the superabundance of God's truth, his knowledge, his wisdom, all of it wrapped up in Christ Jesus. In him, we have the superabundance of God's love, the superabundance of his grace. We have the superabundance of divine hope. We have already all of the riches of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. There is nothing more that we can gain from God that we don't already have in Christ our Lord. And it's out of these overflowing riches that our thanksgiving to God also abounds. We're happy to join together, thanking God for all that is ours in Christ our Lord. And we're happy to go from this place, walking in the way of Christ Jesus our Lord, doing the things that he's given us to do, living the life he's given us to live. And then join again together to receive the gifts that God has for his people. Well, that, my dear Christian friends, just about hits the nail between the eyes. Amen. May the superabundance of God's grace bring you the peace that goes beyond all understanding, because in Christ Jesus, you literally have everything that God wants for you. Amen.
Thanks for listening to Lightly Salted. We'd love to hear from you. You can contact us at stjohnspr.org or look for us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube.
Our thanks to Eric Medeish at soundimage.org for Morning Dew.
God's blessings.